Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I slaughtered my sacrifice in this place. And all the city of Mina is a place for slaughtering. Okay? Why is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us this? Because it's not everybody special nowadays. For 2 or 3 million to be, everybody want to go in the same spot to slaughter his animal, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood here. People will be slaughtering each other. There's no way. But the mercy of Allah, he gives the direction to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell the people that all the city of Mina is a manha. So you don't have to come to this spot. Okay? But this is where I did it. And the whole place, even inside your tent, you can kill your sheep there. And he said also, and I stood here, Arafah. Okay? In Arafah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went there to the mountain of Arafah, and he was facing the Qibla, can you imagine if 2 million people want everybody to be in the same spot? There's no way. But he's telling us, this is where I stood, but any place in Arafah is a what? Is a place for standing. So you can be in any place. You can be in the mountain, or you can be in the bottom of the mountain, or you can be in your tent, you can be inside your bus, as long as you are in the city limit of Arafah, you are fulfilling the obligation.
Arafah is a mountain and a city.
See,
Arafah is a mountain and a city.
It's not a city, but it's a place. If you want to say city, that means people living there, is nobody living there, actually, okay? Only during the time of Hajj, the people go and sit in the middle of the desert, okay?
It's a location.
Location. But you know, for somebody with a broken English like myself, he tried to identify, he say, a city limit. So what I supposed to say is location limit?
No, I'm just trying to get a quick...
Okay, no problem, okay? It's a place, okay? So the Prophet ﷺ says that the whole area is what? Is a place for you to be in it during that day.
Does everybody slaughter an animal because...
We will come to explain about this, inshallah. So, a person does not have to slaughter his animal in the place where the Prophet ﷺ slaughtered the animal, neither he have to be there on the mountain where the Prophet ﷺ was there. You can be in any place in Arafah, you can kill your sacrifice at any place that accessible to you. Hadith number 16, عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما جاء إلى مكة دخلها من أعلاها وخرج من أسفلها. The approach of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, or his manner when he visited or when he went for Hajj, he came to from the upper city entrance, okay, and when he left from, like you say, if you're coming from I-20 as example, the first exit to you is the exit which is Highway 1, okay? And when you leave Colombia, you can go and hit I-20 from exit of Tunach. This is what he mean by the upper and the lower part of the city. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه كان لا يقدم مكة إلا بات بذي طوى حتى يصبح ويغتسل ويذكر ذلك عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. This which is narration from ابن عمر, may Allah be pleased with him, that the behavior of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم when he never come to Mecca, he used to before he enter Mecca, the city itself, he will go to this place called Tawa, and he will wait until the morning. He take a shower, he bath, and he said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do this. So it is recommended. It is recommended for the person before he enter the city of Mecca, even if you are in the state of Ihram, that you wash and you enter by morning, but this is not a must. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه كان يقبل الحجر يقبل الحجر الأسود ويسجد عليه رواه الحاكم مرفوعا والبيهقي موقوف والحديث صحيح. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to kiss the black stone and prostrate on it. Okay, in actuality the black stone is going to be in the height, like you say, about 3.5 feet. So it's not, when somebody understand prostrate on it, that is not in the ground like a prayer rug. So what do you mean by prostrate on it, like you kiss it and you kiss it like this and you do like this? Okay, so this what he mean by prostrated on it. And this from Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to kiss the black stone. So this shows you the sunnah or the permissibility or the the sunnah of kissing the black stone, as well as prostrating the, putting your forehead inside or on the black stone itself. Hadith number 613, page 262. وعنه, that mean also from Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. قال أمرهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يرملوا ثلاثة أشواط ويمشوا أربعا وأن يمشوا بين الركنين, متفق عليه. Which was hadith we already explained concerning the tawaf. And this tawaf, if you only going for Umrah or Hajj, that you will make ramli, that you go, like I said, the manner I show you how to run, but not fast, that you will hurt the people in the first three rounds. And the rest, which is four, you will walk, you will walk. This will be done only when you go for Umrah or you go for Hajj. But if you make an optional tawaf, you don't do this, okay? And in the three first round of those that you walk in faster, when you reach the corner of Yemen to the black stone, no ramble, no running between these two areas. And Allah knows best, they understand, but this has been explained, that the kuffar, that they said when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was coming from Medina, that they were talking about how that these people, the fever,
famine,
yeah, when there's not enough food, that they are not healthy enough, okay, they've been afflicted by disease or something like this. This, some explanation of some of the scholar why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went in this manner, to show the people the strength, okay, that they are not sick, they are not dragging their feet, that they are healthy, wealthy, the God, everything is fine with them. So he went in this mannerism. But anyway, Allah knows best, because now there is no any way to, but we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he did it. He did it this way, we do it this way. But as I said, this will be demonstrated only in Hajj and Umrah. But if you make an optional tawaf at any time, as example, when you leave Mecca, when you're about to leave Mecca, there is a tawaf called Wadaf, tawaf al-Wada', like you're saying bye-bye to Mecca, okay? The farewell tawaf, the last thing you do is you go make wada', like you say to somebody, I will see you inshallah whenever Allah make a way, so bye bye, wassalamu alaikum. So this tawaf, you don't run this three, okay, or go faster three times and after this you walk, but in all your tawaf that you walk normally, in exception of Hajj and Umrah, for the first three rounds. Hadith number 614, page 262. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أنه كان إذا طاف بالبيت الطواف الأول خب ثلاثا ومشى أربعة. وفي رواية رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا طاف في الحج أو العمرة أول ما يقدم فإنه أول ما يقدم فإنه يسعى ثلاثة أطواف بالبيت ويمشي أربعة. The same thing repeating again in this hadith that when the Prophet comes in Hajj or Umrah, that the first three rounds that he will go in a faster speed than the rest of them, which will be four, but he will walk. And the hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. حديث نمبر 615. وعنه رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال لم أرى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من البيت غير الركنين اليمانيين. I never saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم touch any corners of the house, means the Kaaba, except the two corner, the Yemenis, this one and the one with the black stone. So we have to understand that everything in Islam is not a matter of emotion. You don't worship Allah through emotion, but you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through following the steps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We kiss the black stone because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissed the black stone. You don't go in the corner of Yemen and kiss it. This is wrong. This is wrong. The rukn of Yemen, you touch it with your right hand only. Okay, you wipe over it and this is it. If you can reach the black stone, you will kiss the black stone. But there is no any part of the Kaaba to be touched in a manner hoping that this will bless you or will give you reward. Some people they go and be on the stand touching everything. Some people be standing and doing this in the Kaaba with their back, rubbing their back. Some people they try to nibbles and cut pieces of the thread of the dress of the Kaaba. Okay, all these things is not sunnah, is not going to help. The proper way, follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here Ibn Umar telling us that I didn't see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam touching any two corners except these two. Which one? The corner which is direction of Yemen, and the other corner which is what? The black stone, and this is it. So we have to learn to follow the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Is the optional tawaf from seven rounds also?
All tawafs are seven. Umrah, Hajj, optional, yes. And hadith number 616. وعن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قبل الحجر الأسود وقال إني أعلم أنك حجر لا تضر ولا تنفع، ولولا أني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبلك ما قبلتك. متفق عليه. It's very important. Again, this hadith shows us something very very important in Islam. The hadith is a collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, which is authentic, reported by Umar, that Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, he kissed the black stone and he said, I swear by Allah, I know that you are nothing but a stone. You could not harm, neither you can benefit. If I didn't see the Prophet of Allah kissing you, I'm not going to kiss you. Two things here. Number one, how Umar willing to do anything, even if you don't understand it, why? Okay? So Islam is not rational. It's not what you think makes sense or doesn't make. Oh, but this doesn't make sense to me. So since it doesn't make sense to me, I'm not going to do it. This is a big problem with some Muslims. Okay? There is nothing called makes sense or doesn't make sense. Is it Quran? Is it authentic hadith? So you shut up and don't talk about it. say, سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. Oh Allah, we hear and obey. Otherwise that you say, my mind akbar, my logic is akbar. And instead of saying Allahu Akbar, he say my logic is akbar. Umar, how strong in his deen, the shaitan, you be scared from him. He say, I know that you are a stone, but I don't know what is the deal behind this kissing you. You're not going to help me in it, but I do it. I don't know why, but because I saw Rasulullah I'm doing it. This is it. The Prophet did it, you do it. Why? I don't know. Otherwise, we can question everything in the deen. Why Salat al-Zuhr is 4 and the Maghrib is 3? Now you give me your sense, your logic now. Why Salat al-Maghrib is 3 and the Zuhr is 4? Can anybody explain this? The biggest sheikh that living today could not give you explanation. Now we go to page number 263. You put it on already? Okay. حديث نمبر 617 وعن الطفيل رضي الله تعالى عنه قال رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يطوف بالبيت ويستلم الركن بمحجن معه ويقبل المحجن. This hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim رحمة الله عليه reported by Abi Tufail and the hadith is authentic. That he said, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam go around the Kaaba in Tawaf, and he was touching the corner with a stick that he has with him, and after this he will kiss the stick. So due to the crowdedness that is crowded, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not able to reach to the black stone, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has like a cane, and he used to stick it, reach the stone with it from a distance, and after this he will kiss the stick. Okay, so from this hadith we learn that if you could not reach the stone to kiss it, you can try to reach it with something, and whatever reach the stone, the black stone, alaykum sallallahu, you will kiss it. And the hadith is authentic. Hadith number 618 وعن يعلى بن أمية رضي الله تعالى عنه قال طاف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم متبعا ببرد أخضر رواه الخمسة إلا النسائي وصححه الترمذي. And the hadith is حسن. That in the collection of النسائي and the ترمذي, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was making tawaf while he's wearing a green ihram, and he has it in a diba' fashion. That means you will take the towel, okay, and you will, and this only for the men, and you will take it under the right arm, okay, and you put it on the left shoulder. This is called itiba, okay? And you're supposed to be doing this only when you're going around the Kaaba. Because some people, from the time they are in the aeroplane, they are in this state, okay, having the ihram. Was enough?
Yes. I give it to you.
Okay, remind me of the question. And also from this hadith we learn the permissibility of having a different color from the white while you're making this ihram. So the ihram does not have to be in white for the man. The permissibility of using the color green. And the itiba', that putting the towel or the ihram under your right hand, covering your left shoulder, exposing the right shoulder, this will be only during the tawaf, only during the time going around the Kaaba. After you finish, there is no need for you to do this, okay? So when you're doing the sa'i between Safa and Marwa, you don't do this, okay? You can have your both shoulders cover. When you are in the airplane, both shoulder covers. When you make in salah, both shoulders cover, okay? Hadith number 619 عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان يهل منا المهل فلا ينكر عليه ويكبر منا المكبر فلا ينكر عليه متفق عليه. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الثقل او قال في الضعف من جمع بليل متفق عليه. This hadith is a collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam send Ibn Abbas in the thaqal, the heavy stuff, which means that the luggage and suitcases, you know, when the hujjaj, everybody like a group traveling together and everybody brought in this load in one place. And the weak one, which women, okay, they don't have the ability of being in crowdedness like men and things like this, and sick and children also during the night. We understand that we said when we finish Arafah we're going to go to Muzdalifah, and Muzdalifah is going to make Maghrib and Isha and sleep, okay? And we said that you make Fajr also there. Okay, but here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed Ibn Abbas to take certain part of the community during the night before everybody else. Why? Because it can cause a hardship for them. Those were the handicapped, the children, the women, the one who, okay. So this shows the permissibility of taking the women by night, especially the women who does not have the ability to be in the middle of this crowdness and large number of, okay, that they don't have to stay the whole night until the morning in Muzdalifah, that they can move forward before the rest of the people. And the hadith is authentic.
Where do they go back to Mecca?
Mm-hmm. No, we said that we have to go first to Mina. Okay, this when you're going to throw the pebbles and these things, this before you go to Mecca.
So they like move forward?
Before, forward, you understand, from a station to the next station before everybody else. We'll catch with them to make it more easier in them.
Okay.
And also this hadith 621, which reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, استأذنت سودة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليلة المزدلفة ليلة المزدلفة أن تدفع قبله وكانت صبطة يعني ثقيلة فأذن لها. The same way that here one of the wives of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is her name is Sauda, okay, and Sauda asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to leave by night from Muzdalifa before him. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم permitted her, and the hadith explaining that she was a heavy weight, okay, she has a lot of weight, and this was a reason that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, you know what I mean by heavy weight?
I mean, was she heavy or she had something heavy?
No, she was not carrying something. She gaining, I don't want to use the term fat, okay. She was a large lady, okay, but maybe larger than what we imagine, you understand? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam permitted her also to do so. Or that because she used to move slowly, okay, some people they have a problem of also the way how to walk. And this hadith also shows the permissibility of weak, sick, children, people who have special conditions, that they can leave Muzdalifah by night. They don't have to wait until the morning when everybody leaving. And also that those people can go and throw the stones, cast the stones, before also the rest of the community go, because it will be too much for them to be in the middle of everybody. Hadith number 622, page number 264. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال لنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ترموا الجمرة حتى تطلع الشمس. Okay, hadith is good, Hassan, reported by Ibn Abbas, that the Prophet ﷺ told them not to throw the pebbles until sun rise. They have to wait until sun rise. They could not do it before sun rise.
This was the only location that they can go before the rest of the people. Those that are handicapped,
and also they can go to Mina and throw the stones, the pebbles, before the rest of the people. They can do it. As example, this hadith is telling us we are not supposed to throw the pebbles until sunrise. But for those women, they can go before sunrise, they can go Fajr time, and they can do it. But not for all the women, okay? Those who have the means, that they're strong enough, they can deal with it, they wait, like everybody. We are talking about special conditions now, okay? Hadith number 623, وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت أرسل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بأم سلمة ليلة النحر فرمت الجمرة قبل الفجر ثم مضت فأفضت. رواه أبو داود وإسناده على شرط مسلم. And the hadith is authentic that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had sent Umm Salama, okay, the night of Nahr, the night of the sacrifice, okay, and she threw the stones or the pebbles before Fajr, before Fajr. And after this she went to Mecca also before everybody and did. Hadith number 624 عن عروة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من شهد صلاتنا هذه يعني بالمزدلفة فوقف معنا حتى ندفع وقد وقف بعرفة قبل ذلك ليلا او نهارا فقد تم حجه وقد تفافه. The hadith is authentic, reported by Urwa that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that a person who attends the Salah with us in Al-Muzdalifah, which is a Salah Maghrib and Aisha together, and what? Fajr. This he prayed in Muzdalifah, remember? Yeah. So whosoever made the Salah with us in Muzdalifah and he stood before in Arafah, when we're going to be in Arafah, between Zuhr until sunset, we pray Zuhr and Asr together before you enter Muzdalifah, and the out of the city limit of Arafah. You enter Arafah and you stay what? Until sunset. So he said, whosoever pray with us in Muzdalifah and the day before he then in Arafah, by day or night, his Hajj is been fulfilled. That means he had fulfilled the major part of his Hajj. So there is two main important things that we have to understand here. Attending Arafah and being in Arafah can be extended until night. Okay? So let's assume that somebody did not happen to reach Arafah and reached Arafah after sunset and he spent some time there, a couple of hours, he still considered he had catched the Hajj. Okay? But if he was not there in Arafah, not by day, neither by night, you missed the whole Hajj. Okay? And you could not make up for this. Hadith number 625 عن عمر رضي الله عنه قال إن المشركين كانوا لا يفضون حتى تطلع الشمس ويقولون أشرق ثبير وإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خالفهم فأفاض قبل أن تطلع الشمس. Okay, we understand that we said after Muzdalifah that the person will go and by al-Mash'ar al-Haram. So the hadith showing that how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Hajj is something been known before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the mushrikeen they used to perform Hajj. Okay, and the Kaaba were respected to all the people at this time and before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, because Hajj has been since the time of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Okay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded the Prophet Ibrahim, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا, proclaim and call the adhan for Hajj for the people. So Hajj has been inherited since the time of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the mushrikeen, they still have some of this information still left there. They used to make Hajj, okay, and they used to leave Muzdalifah after sunrise, and they used to wait until sunrise, and they call it like mountain, okay, like showing like greatness or respect or honor for this mountain. So that the hadith is showing us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had went in Hajj to be different from the manner that the mushrikeen they used to leave the Muzdalifah. He did not used to return from Al-Muzdalifah till the sun rose, and they would say, let the sun shine on Thabir. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam acted differently from them, so he returned quickly from Al-Muzdalifah before sun rose. Okay, he made Fajr and he left and he went to Al-Mash'ar Al-Haram. Yes, sir.
The Hajj of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same as the Hajj of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam?
I could not say yes. But we know that part of it, okay, no, I don't know how. How the Prophet Ibrahim made his Hajj, Allah knows best. Did he make tawaf 7 times or 10 times, I don't know. But basically that certain things may match from a community to community, or maybe it doesn't match. Like the Salah as example. We don't know how they used to make Salah, but we know that they make Salah. The fasting, as Allah said, fasting been ordained for you, has been ordained for those who before you. But how they used to fast, and how much time they used to fast. So the ibadah itself is there, but the amount and the way, it may differ. You see? Like as example, fasting when it started was one day only. Okay? Was only one day they used to fast. The day of Ashura. So the manner and the way, it can be different, the amount, the quantity, all the things, the time can be different. So I have no any information to say that was exactly the same way. But the respect and the honor for the signs of Allah, like the Kaaba and the Safa, Marwa, all the things is known, and the way how it is, Allah knows best. حديث نمبر 626 وعن ابن عباس وأسامة ابن زيد رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال لم يزل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يلبي حتى رمى جمرة العقبة. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم continued making talbiyah until he threw the petals on the jamra, the first jamra. That means talbiyah, the sin of labbaik Allahumma labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik, inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. This will be started from the time you make your ihram until you go for tawaf, you go for sa'i, you go to Mina, you go to Arafah, you go to Muzdalifah. And when the 10th of the Hijjah, until you go to through the pebbles in the first Jamra, now after this you will stop. Okay? So the Talbiyah will continue as long as you are in the process of Umrah and Ihram and Hajj. The Talbiyah, the same of Talbiyah, will be with you until what? Until the 10th day when you throw the first jamra, the greatest one, the biggest jamra, okay? And that does not mean you have to be saying it 24 hours, but when you change conditions. As example, when you go to sleep, you wake up. This is what we call changing condition. So you say, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. You was walking and now sitting. Now you say, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. You was walking and now you ride in the car. This is what I mean by changing condition from time to time to away, something different. Now you repeat the talbiyah again. One time, 3 times, this is up to you. Hadith number عن عبد الله ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه انه جعل البيت عن يساره ومنى عن يمينه ورمى الجمرة بسبع حصيات وقال هذا مقام الذي انزلت عليه سورة البقرة. That this hadith, which is the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made the house, that mean the Kaaba, on his left, and Mina, the city of Mina, on his right, and he threw the Jamra. Okay? So this is the direction that you should take, okay, when you throw the pebbles in the first Jamra. That Mecca will be in your left and Mina will be in your right. And that you face this station and you throw the pebbles. And he said, this is the place where Surah Al-Baqarah had been revealed to me in this place. Hadith number 628, which is authentic also, reported by Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rama al-jamrata yawm al-nah, duha, wa amma ba'da thalik, fa'idha zalat al-shams. That means the first day, which is the 10th of the Hijjah, which you throw one jamra. We have three jamra, three places to stone, okay? But the first day, you only throw one. When? By after sun's rise, about half an hour, okay? Like we said, about 8-9 o'clock in the morning, okay? But the second day, the third day, and the fourth day, if you do, will be what? After Dhuhr, okay? After Dhuhr. So only the first day you will stone when? In the morning after sunrise, approximately about half an hour. Yes.
So the corner of the Kaaba, I think the name is Yemen, then that point to the country Yemen.
Yes. Yes, this is the reason they call it Yemen. Okay. And there is another one called Rukn Shami, okay, because it's facing Sham, Syria, or Damascus.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
I got you.
Alright. Hadith number 629, وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه كان يرمي الجمرة الدنيا بسبع حصايات يكبر على إثر كل حصى ثم يتقدم ثم يسهل فيقوم فيستقبل القبلة فيقوم طويلا ويدعو فيرفع يديه ثم يرمي الوسطى ثم يأخذ ذات الشمال فيسهل ويقوم مستقبل القبلة ثم يدعو فيرفع يديه ويقوم طويلة ثم يرمي جمرة ذات العقبة من بطن الوادي ولا يقف عندها ثم ينصرف فيقول هكذا رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يفعله. Here is say about the manner of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that in the second day he used to stone or throw pebbles on the three stations, the three jamarat, okay, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam he go to the lowest one first and after this the middle one and after this go to the last one, and also for you to say takbir when you throw each one, and after he throw each one, the first and the second, he used to move away and he will face the Qibla, raise his hand and make dua. Okay, so this is the second day, the third day, and the fourth day, if you stay for the fourth day. Okay? Anything that you want. so you don't face the stoning station, okay? But you go and you throw the lowest one, the first one, and after with each one you say Allahu Akbar. And after this you move away and you face the Qibla and you stand up and make dua. You finish, you go to the middle one, which is the second one. Allahu Akbar with each one, okay? Throwing it. And after this you move away and you will face the Qibla and make dua, means the direction of the Kaaba. There's no any special thing there that you go, okay? Towards the Kaaba. And after this you make dua. And after this you go to the last one and seven times you throw these pebbles and say Allahu Akbar with each one. And after there is no dua, you go about your business.
You say Allahu Akbar, excuse me.
While you throw Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Okay? And he said, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing so. Hadith number 630. وعنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اللهم ارحم المحلقين قال والمقصرين يا رسول الله قال في الثالثة والمقصرين. This hadith which reported by Ibn Umar, the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, hadith is authentic, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua, okay, that Allah show his mercy to those people who shave their head. This applies to men, okay, applies to men. A woman is forbidden to shave her hair. She can cut her hair short, but not to cut it short in a fashion and a way to be imitation to the men, okay? But for the men, it is much reward, more rewarded for them to shave after making Hajj. So the Prophet ﷺ said, oh Allah, be mercy and show your mercy towards those people who shave their head. So the companion said, oh Allah, oh Prophet of Allah, what about the people who cut it short? That means they will leave some hair, not spots, okay? Because this is forbidden also in Islam. That means they will cut it short, but they are not going to shave it. So the Prophet ﷺ made dua again for the people who shave. Say, oh Prophet of Allah, what about the one who cut it short? So he made dua again. And the last time he said, and those who cut it short. So that means from this hadith we understand is more reward for people who shaved their head after Hajj more than those people who cut it short. وعن عبد الله ابن عمرو ابن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقف في حجة الوداع